You're listening to the NFL Draft Bible Podcast Network, part of Sports Illustrated, giving you daily NFL Draft, Dynasty, and Devy Fantasy Football podcasts.
Welcome in to the NFL Draft Bible Super Mock Draft. We are on the eve of the NFL Draft and a huge draft weekend. So we have pulled together analysts from around the NFL Draft Bible to take part in a final three-round NFL mock draft. This is a predictive mock draft, so our analysts are jumping into the GMC, trying to get inside of the minds of the NFL front office that they are drafting for. You'll notice we have six analysts for the most part. Each analyst is assigned to a division. They will select with that team throughout the entire three-round mock draft. And I got to tell you, we have some private chats up on the side. The phones are ringing. Trades are allowed. So whether you're watching or whether you're listening to this episode, thank you for joining us. And we are going to jump right into the first overall selection here. Eric, you are up with the Jacksonville Jaguars. First, if you're making your first selection here, fellas, introduce yourself and then go ahead and make your selection.
All right. So, I'm Eric Adams with the NFL Draft Bible Dynasty Fantasy Football Writer. Ring, ring. Oh, I'm getting a call for the Jaguars. Oh, yes. Oh, okay, I'll make that trade. The Patriots are trading up to number one, and they'll be taking Trevor Lawrence. And we'll move on to the Jets now with the second pick. Oh, look at that. I'm picking with the Jets again. I'm kidding. Trevor Lawrence to the Jaguars. Let's just move it along.
It's a terrible joke. Okay.
I loved it. I would have loved it.
All right, Eric, you're also on the clock here with the New York, with the Jets.
Still picking with the Jets. They're in love with Zach Wilson. Go with Zach Wilson.
All right. Move it along. So Zach Wilson, Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson. No surprises here at the top. But the draft starts at three here, and so Jack Borowski. Jack, you are going to kick us off here with the San Francisco 49ers. You're drafting for the NFC West.
Yeah, I'm Jack Borowski. I cover the NFL draft for the Draft Bible in scouting, and I write articles. Hot Take Tuesday is the main one I write, so we might as well start this off on a Tuesday with a hot take. I think the pick's Mac Jones. I really do. I think would I take him there? Not necessarily, but you look at quarterbacks in the past like Daniel Jones, who went ahead of Dwayne Haskins. It was a surprise move at the time, but I think he's a pretty safe guy, and in that offense could elevate to the level Matt Ryan did when he won his MVP with the Falcons a few years ago. So I think that's the pick, and I'm not mad about it.
All right, we're moving on here to Atlanta. And Zach, you are on the board selecting with the Falcons.
That's right. My name is Zach Dietz. I am a NFL draft analyst and a scout with the NFL Draft Bible. And, you know, this is actually kind of a tough pick for the Falcons, guys. You know, Matt Ryan, some people believe that they might look to draft a quarterback here. We hear Kyle Pitts a lot. I'm going to go with the QB here. I think they would take Trey Lance in this situation. And my reasoning for that selection is that I believe that when the 49ers traded up to three, they felt as though they had to jump Atlanta. I believe they did know that they wanted to take Mac Jones or whoever they gonna or whoever they want to take in that situation. I understand from what I've heard, the Falcons general manager, Terry Fontenot, the new guy, he's a big Trey Lance fan. So Atlanta stays at four and they get their guy. He could sit behind Matt Ryan for a year or two, and they're building towards the future.
All right, I can confirm an unnamed team did try to move up pre-draft to this four slot with Atlanta, and the Falcons were uninterested. So Zach is sticking to his guns there, and I'd like Atlanta staying there and taking their quarterback of the future. So Ryan Searfoss, we are heading on to you here with this fifth selection with the Cincinnati Bengals.
Super. Ryan Searfoss, find me Twitter, Foss534, and Dynasty Draft Room podcast on Tuesdays, and a ranker for Dynasty, all for the Draft Bible. And with the fifth selection, Cincinnati Bengals are doing the common sense pick and taking Penei Sewell. I know it's exciting to take a receiver here, but we're protecting that franchise quarterback who they got last year, and they have two good receivers in place. Penei Sewell can go there, protect them for a decade, and not worry about it.
All right. I like that move a lot. It seems like we are getting really into the idea of a wide receiver or a tight end there, but I think Sewell is the guy that they're going to need. And so, Eric, we are back to you here, drafting with the Miami Dolphins. Remember, this was the pick they acquired from the Philadelphia Eagles after trading back from third overall via the Houston Texans. So, Eric, a lot of movement to get to this pick right here at six. What are you doing with it?
I think there's a lot of avenues Miami can take here. I definitely think trading back is an option. But, I mean, with the 18th pick, I don't really see the need to. They already have a boatload of picks. I have them taking Ja'Marr Chase here. I think they need to upgrade at wide receiver, get Tua some help. And if Sewell's not on the board, that makes it a pretty easy pick for me.
All right. Fantastic. Well, Eric, I love that pick for multiple reasons. And one of them is that it means our first trade is coming through. We had a pre-draft negotiation here between the Washington football team and the Detroit Lions. So Detroit will be moving back to 19. They will also pick up pick 51 in this year's draft, and a 2022-1, as well as a 2022-3. And all of that was in the hopes that a quarterback would fall here to 7. And I got to be honest, fellas, it was the ideal situation. So Washington is going to move up and select Justin Fields here with this pick. They get the quarterback of the future. I know we all wanted it to be Taylor Heineke, but it will have to be Justin Fields. And Washington football team now has a great offensive line, great defense. They're putting together playmakers there on the offensive side of the line. And all of a sudden, you know, they might be the top dog here in the NFC East. So with that, I'm going to go ahead and pass it over to Carolina. Zach, you are back on the clock.
All right. Carolina, we know maybe if Justin Fields was on the clock, they would consider taking a quarterback. I think it would be the smart decision due to even though they got Sam Darnold, but I think they got to protect that line. Carolina's not going to be a very good team in 2021. This upcoming season, I think you got to reassure that line. I'm going to go Rashawn Slater right here. Slot him in at left tackle from day one, and you got a pretty good bookend combo with him and Taylor Moten on the right side.
All right. I like that a lot. This is a really interesting fall here. Of note, Kyle Pitts still on the board. He's not on the board at 9 in a lot of mock drafts. I don't think Denver is going to be a particularly interesting landing spot for him either. But we're going to go ahead and put the Broncos on the clock. And Jack, since you traded back from Detroit, we had to wait to get an introduction from you. But welcome to the mock, and the Broncos are on the clock.
Thank you. Thank you. My name is Jack Despo. I'm in I am – oh, my gosh. I almost went to my work spiel. I'm an NFL analyst for NFL Draft Bible. I work a lot with, like, pro stuff. I do a lot of research behind the scenes. I'm one of the hosts of the Prospect Profits show. This wasn't pre-planned. I didn't expect Kyle Pitts to fall this far. I'd just like to put it out there that the ninth pick is on the clock, or is available if anyone wants to, you know, throw out any quick offers. I'm not sure how Matt wants us to field live unexpected offers.
If you could get an offer right now, anybody want to take a shot here, move up for 9? You have to imagine the real draft, somebody would be interested in moving up for Kyle Pitts falling down the board right now.
I wonder if it'll be my Philadelphia Eagles. Oh.
It's not going to be me. Nope.
if no one wants to bite.
Looks like you're picking.
Yeah, I guess so. If no one's going to take Kyle Pitts, I think the Broncos would take Kyle Pitts. I think they'd be crazy not to take Kyle Pitts.
Whoa. And like
a 12 personnel.
Yeah, like, you know, if they're trying to, you know, if they're not taking a quarterback, it's got to be Drew Lock. And if Kyle Pitts is available, there's no chance he makes it tonight. So he's got to go there.
All right. That is a interesting decision here. Denver is rolling out. You know, this is a poor one out for Albert Okwuegbunam. That's the real loser here in this deal, because I think they could roll Font and Pitts out there. But hey, anything to help boost up my man Drew Lock, I'll take it. This is my first selection here. My first original selection, I should say. So Dallas is up here at 10. I think this is a pretty easy pick. I thought you were going to make it tough, Jack, because I thought you were going to take a corner in front of me. But it seems like Patrick Surtain is going to be the best fit here for Dallas. So desperately needed some help in the secondary there. I was ready to take another corner with that pick if I needed to. But I'll take Patrick Surtain the second off of the board. And I actually have a nice little run here. I mentioned we are drafting by division. So I have the Giants as well as Philadelphia, who is up next. I will throw it out to the group. I am the anti-Dave Gettleman, despite the fact that he has claimed that he is willing to move back. Is anybody interested in moving up for this pick before I make my selection? All right. Fantastic. Nobody is interested in moving up. I'm really torn here with the Giants. I could see them going in a variety of ways. My ideal situation is for Rashawn Slater to fall here. Feels a little rich for Christian Darrisaw, although I would love for the Giants to reinforce the offensive line as a priority. I love Azeez Ojulari, and I think he's the best fit here for this edge position, but I don't expect him to go at 11, even though I think he fits what the Giants need. Instead, I think Dave Gettleman will do what he does. He's going to take a big swing here and take Jalen Phillips as the first edge off of the board. And so that's going to bring us on to the Philadelphia Eagles, who I'm going to have select another wide receiver because they are so fantastic at selecting wide receivers. And I believe the guy that they want is Devonta Smith, the wide receiver out of Alabama. There's a lot of good wide receivers. Smith isn't my highest rated wide receiver remaining, but I do think Philadelphia will like him. And I do think Devonta Smith has the ability to be special here at the next level. So my run on picks has ended here. We're going to pass it on back over to Zach here with the Los Angeles Chargers. Zach, there is one perfect pick that is on the board, and I'm going to need you to make that pick right now.
I have a feeling I'm going to let you down, man. I'm just looking at the Chargers' draft tendencies, and you know what? There was that report that they are, quote-unquote, bullish on Trey Pipkins the other day. Take that with a grain of salt. But still, just going off Tom Telesco's draft strategy, we know he loves to bring in people who could rush a passer. You kind of snipe you before on Jalen Phillips. But I really do feel like, you know, a lot of people are expecting an offensive tackle with this pick, and I just don't. I think they can maybe wait on that a little bit. I'm going to go with Kwity Paye right here. I think he would learn a lot playing opposite of Joey Bosa. He's a guy who wins primarily rushing from the outside, and he's a freak athlete. So this feels like a very, very Tom Telesco-y pick right here.
All right. I'll have to live with that pick. It was not the one I wanted, but I will take it. Minnesota is up here, and Jack, you are drafting for the Vikings.
You guys are making this easy. I'm taking Christian Darrisaw. Are you kidding me? He's the second best tackle in the draft, and he falls right to the Vikings, who have a desperate need at offensive tackle. So that one, that's easy peasy. Thank you very much.
All right. That was that was definitely a good pick. Now, Eric, it looks like New England has stayed put, which, although it might not be the most fun outcome, is probably the most likely one. And these are your New England Patriots. What are you going to do here with the 15th overall selection?
Well, Jack taking Darrisaw made it a little easier. I have two choices, two names to bounce between. I think either Jalen Waddle would be the shock pick, or J.C. Horn, the corner. If we're doing what we think the team's going to do here, I'm going to take J.C. Horn. He's my top corner in the draft. He's got really good man coverage skills, tough physical. They got a need with Stephon Gilmore in the last year of his deal. J.C. Jackson floated in trade rumors. I think J.C. Horn reinforces secondary for him.
I very much consider J.C. Horn at 10 for Dallas. I think, you know, Surtain is probably their guy, but I love J.C. Horn. And I think he can be just as successful at the next level. So I love that pick there at 15. At 16, we're going over to Jack Borowski, but I will mention that Jalen Waddle is free falling. That was actually the pick that I wanted Zach to take for the Chargers. So, Jack, I'll put you on the clock here with Arizona, but I have to imagine some folks might be interested in moving up there for Jalen Waddle.
Yeah, well, I was thinking about moving up a few times. Granted, given the NFC West, you're not getting too many draft picks in the first three rounds with the amount of trades these teams make. But, yeah, I was thinking 9 for Kyle Pitts, and then I was like, all right, is Waddle going to go off the board? And he hasn't, so I'll just take him. They made a mistake taking Isaiah Simmons over a lot of players last year, so they make it back this year by taking – who I think is the best wide receiver in the entire draft.
I'm not fast alone. Getting faster, man.
Not alone. He's better than Chase.
I mean, Waddle's my wide receiver too.
He's my wide receiver one. Love Waddle.
All right. Foss, you pulled the unlucky draw of trying to get inside of the mind of John Gruden. So take us in there, Ryan. What are we doing?
I'm just staring at this pick, trying to figure out what the hell I want to do, because this team has a lot of holes on it. Their whole offensive line's gone. They struggle interior defensive line. They're missing corners. So I'm leaning towards Greg Newsom just because they have literally nothing at the position right now. So we're going to fill out that defensive backfield and hopefully hit on offensive line later on in the draft.
All right, so we're going to go with Newsom here for this pick for the Raiders, which is going to put Miami back on the clock here with the 18th overall selection. And that is going to be Eric.
Well, I think this is the first team in the draft that should contemplate taking one of the running backs. Najee Harris would look pretty damn good in Miami, I'm not going to lie. But, I don't want him to go to Pittsburgh. Najee Harris to Miami.
All right. Not only do I like that pick, Eric, I think that people are really moving past that pick too quickly. And I think Miami, I still have Najee Harris pegged at 18 to Miami. I think it's a very realistic pick. And I think it makes a ton of sense for Miami's need and the way the running back position could be going down here. So I'm interested to see here if there is a reciprocal run on running backs here now that the first one is off the board. But Jack, Detroit moved back from 7 to 19. So why don't you start by giving us a little bit of insight as to why you made that that decision to move back from 7, and then let us know what pick you want to make here.
So the Lions are kind of in a shift of everything right now. They have a shift of identity going on. They have they're going to be biting at people's knees or whatever. They're just they're a team that's not – it's completely unsettled. It doesn't really have an identity. There's a lot of room for it to grow. The best way – they could have taken a wide receiver there at 7, but it's not really going to fix any of their problems long term. I'm not sold on Jared Goff. I'm not sold on a lot of parts of that defense. They're just a team that has – It's in the process of working through the reset button. So the best thing they could do is just get a ransom, which our pick was like, our trade wasn't like a massive ransom, but it was a solid enough ransom. They still get a foundational guy at pick 19, a guy that a lot of people have the Lions or have had talked about the Lions getting at 7. And that's Micah Parsons, the linebacker out of Penn State. I think Parsons is going to be that guy that can play, all across. He can be that centerpiece in your backfield, in your linebacker core. Think of like the effect that Devin White had on Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That's the kind of effect that Micah Parsons can, plug in and be for these Lions.
Yeah, I think that's a great value pick, guys. I'm cross-referencing all of these picks with the actual NFL Draft Bible overall big board, which is at si.com/NFL/draft, like all of our content here. And Micah Parsons is 12th overall on the NFL Draft Bible, total big board. And so you get him 7 picks later to a team that needs just about everything, especially a remodel on defense. I think that's a great pick there, Jack, and a smart move to move back from Washington. Now on the clock here, we have the Chicago Bears, and it's going to also be Jack. And I have a particular player that I want for the Colts at 21, so please do not snipe me.
Well, I don't think I'm going to. The Bears also have a lot of needs. They're almost entirely on offense. But little little tidbit, and I was working on this project for my Prospect Profits show, but we just did a mock draft today, and I disagreed with the decision that was made a little bit on who the Bears would take. We did like a mock draft. So the league average spending at cornerback is about 9% of your team's salary cap. That's the league average. The highest is in the 20s with the Ravens spending about 20%. The Bears, they're a defensive minded team. That offense is not taking them anywhere anytime soon. And while you could build here and get an offensive tackle, which is probably what Matt is worried about, because the Colts have a similar need. I'm going to go ahead and get somewhat of a developmental cornerback. A guy who I think, you know, doesn't have as many question marks other than just what his ceiling is going to be. He's a guy that we're really big on with the Prophets. His name is Fatu Melifonwu. I'm skipping over Caleb Farley. Caleb Farley was also in consideration here. Similar build, but with, you know, a few question marks regarding his health at this time. Melifonwu is one of the best kept secrets of this NFL draft. He's extremely athletic. He's got all the size. He's got all the abilities. It's just a matter of plugging him in, letting him grow, and become that guy that he could be in the NFL.
All right. I like that pick for multiple reasons. One, I think it's a good pick. Second, it was not the one that I was going to make. And so Indianapolis, I think, gets a really good value here with Elijah Vera Tucker falling to them. Probably won't be able to play on the outside, but it's a good offensive lineman. I think they're going to find a spot for him. And he, you know, he could have the potential to play on the outside at the next level. So I think they'll give it a shot here. And if not, then they'll have a really good addition to their interior offensive line. All right, Jack, you're going to go ahead and pick here for the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah, the Titans are in a tough situation because they took a right tackle last year. That didn't work out. Obviously, Isaiah Wilson, the biggest bust from last year. They need an edge rusher. There's no good edge rusher. I think they end up going Christian Barmore from Alabama. I think right now you look position scarcity, defensive tackle. They need someone who can get after the quarterback in some way, shape, or form. Him and Jeffrey Simmons would be a great duo in their 30 scheme. So I like the upside Darisa presents, and I think with same thing with Simmons. It's a little bit of a risky pick, but I think one that could pan out in a big way.
All right, so we're going to go ahead and jump here to the New York Jets, who are taking their second selection here. Remember, with that first pick, Eric selected Zach Wilson, quarterback out of BYU.
And with their second pick, I've recently read up that the Jets have been hitting it off with Pat Freiermuth. I don't know if this is too high for Pat. I really like him, but I don't know if he's a first-round player. The other thought would possibly be at running back. They have next to nothing at running back. I'll take ETN here.
Oh, all right. So the running back run is going.
They need some spark. They need some juice in that offense. ETN, along with Zach Wilson, who will give it to him.
All right, so this is an interesting spot that, Ryan, you find yourself in here with the 24th overall pick. You've missed out, I think, on that top tier of guys that are – more likely to be first-round running back. So does Pittsburgh reach here and try to get Javonte Williams or another running back here in the first round? Are they going to go ahead and bypass that and hope a guy falls to them in the second?
I think at this point in the draft, the Steelers have been known for taking best available player and guys who kind of fit. While Javonte Williams does fit, he's kind of not redundant to Benny Snell, but very much similar skill set, but better. Like, he does a lot of the same things well. So I don't know if that's the pick there for them. What they did lose was a centerpiece of their offense at the center position. So we're going to shore up that offensive line that has Dave DeCastro, Zach Banner, nobody else there. So we're going to take Landon Dickerson at center for the Steelers.
All right. Interior offensive lineman. That is the first center off the board, I'm pretty sure. And 24 is a pretty high pick. But Landon Dickerson definitely impressed there down the stretch. All right, so we are going to go back to Jacksonville here. This is Eric's selection. He took Trevor Lawrence with the first selection, and he will have plenty more Jacksonville selections. So we're building out a full roster here.
Yeah, with Jacksonville here, you get Trevor Lawrence with the first overall pick. You're going to want to protect him. I'm looking at Jacksonville's depth chart right now, and Jawan Taylor and Cam Robinson. Cam Robinson on 1 year deal too. That's not it. So I'll take Sam Cosmi out of Texas here. He'll be Trevor Lawrence's blindside protector, hopefully for the next 10 years for Jacksonville.
All right, offensive linemen coming off of the board. Still some good offensive linemen who I'd expect to come off in the first round available here. So I think we're actually taking them a little slow. Cleveland Browns are on the clock, and that's going to take us back to Ryan Searfoss.
Cleveland's been building on that defense. Their offense is pretty set as is, and other than maybe some offensive line, which we've seen been going fairly early and often right now, so we kind of have a drop-off of the position. What they are is they're very weak up the middle on their defense, and I think someone like Zaven Collins can add that explosive sideline-to-sideline ability to help against their run game when they have that outstanding pass rush they already have and just bolster their defense.
All right, Zaven Collins coming off the board. There's rumors of him being potentially off the board as early as 10 right now, but we're going to take him a little bit later here with that selection. So that's going to bring us here. Ryan, you're going back-to-back here because the Baltimore Ravens are on the clock.
Matt, I know what you want me to take here, but Ravens taking Rashad Bateman here. He does everything they want.
Oh, no.
I know you want a Terrace Marshall.
Well, I wanted the better wide receiver, yeah.
But you're wrong. Bateman goes up strong for the ball. He's aggressive at the catch point. He averaged 20 yards of carry back in 29, or 20 yards of reception back in 2019. Big playability. He's well-rounded. He has one of the most better skill sets left that could be a wide receiver one, and that's what Baltimore needs. So we're taking Rashad Bateman here.
All right. Well, I'm sure the fantasy football folks listening in will be plenty fine with that pick. We're just going to bury Rashad Bateman, and we're going to kick it over to Zach. Zach, it's been a little while. The Saints are patiently waiting on the clock here, and in a pretty big decision for a franchise that's kind of on the edge of going all in or rebuilding. So what direction are we going to go in here?
Yeah, definitely. And you know what? In this situation, Matt, I think Sean Payton and Mickey Loomis will be doing backflips. I'm going to go Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah. The fact that he's still on the board at this point is insane to me. He is a top 15 player in this class. Move him all over the field. Is he a linebacker? Is he a safety? Who cares? He's going to help your team win football games.
Yeah, that was a huge fall down the board here. Ninth overall right now on the big board here for the NFL Draft Bible. So a huge value for the Saints. And the Saints are known for drafting best player available. And that's certainly the case here. All right, we are going to go with the Green Bay Packers are now on the clock. And that's going to kick us over to Jack D.
Yeah, that really threw me here. I was... Man, you're gonna make me pick a wide receiver. I was like, I'm gonna surprise everyone and bolster the Green Bay Packers run defense because that's the only thing that's their biggest weakness. It's not that they don't have enough wide receivers; it's that they can't stop the run on defense. So, I was really hoping for Zaven Collins or Jock. Thank you both. Now I'm spiraling. I guess what I'll have to do is I'll pick a wide receiver. And the best guy on the board here. Depends on what you're looking for exactly. The Packers already have an X wide receiver, so I don't think I'm going to go Terrace Marshall. I think I'm going to go. I'm not thrilled with this pick. I'm going to go Kadarius Toney.
Oh no,
Toney is he's one of those guys who I feel like a dork saying this. He's the epitome of shake and bake. He's going to get you. You know, he runs like a running back. You know, he's got the hands. He's got the big playability. He's built like a running back. He's got the contact balance to make plays. He can, you know, he's got little tiny fast feet to make him, you know, change direction like crazy. He's just a playmaker. He's the guy that they can dump it off to underneath. If the team, you know, let's say you put him in the slot and you have, Davante Adams going, you know, taking the corner back, you dump it off behind them to Kadarius Toney, and that defense is going to have some trouble.
All right, that brings us up here to Eric with the 30th pick here for Buffalo. Eric, I got to ask you, would Buffalo be interested in moving back to 42? Does that sound like something Buffalo might want to do? What would it take?
Who's picking 42?
Giants? Are picking 42.
Oh, our buddies down
please don't do south. That. Please don't do that.
Yeah. I don't think I'm going to do that because I don't think the Giants are trading up. I don't know. I don't know who you want. Who do you want?
The Giants have a history of being aggressive to get back in the back end of the first round.
And Dave Gettleman does not. What do you want to give me? Make me an offer.
I'll give you 42 and a 2 next year.
Oh, a 2 next? Fine.
Done deal?
Just because I don't want to pick with Buffalo. Yeah, sure.
All right. Giants are moving up here to select Terrace Marshall, wide receiver out of LSU. I was kind of hoping that my dream is Terrace Marshall makes it to the top of the second round. Jack had me sweating it out there, so it got a little too close to home. And instead, I'm going to have the Giants move up, get a guy that can be perfect playing opposite of Kenny Golladay, and you can actually let these little guys play over the middle of the field instead of expecting them to be boundary wide receivers. And when Daniel Jones fails again this year, there will be no excuses, and we can get ourselves a real quarterback in there. So I love that move here by the Giants, giving up 42 in this year's draft and a 2022 second round pick to move up about 12 slots. And that's going to take us over to Ryan here with pick 31 in the Baltimore Ravens.
That's not the double up, man. I'm just kidding. So the Ravens, they're going to fill in their other big need and just kind of lucked out with talent falling with Aziz Ojulari falling for the Ravens. He gives them an electric pass rusher, someone who can bring a little speed off the edge and gives them much needed boost in the pass rush on the defense.
I absolutely love him too as a guy to support the rush defense, which is, you know, critical there in the AFC North. So I think that's a perfect fit
for them. Yeah,
he really is. And to pair him up with any wide receiver in the first round would be a really nice move there. All right. Tampa Bay Buccaneers, final pick of the first round. Zach, you're on the board. You know, if anybody's looking to get up here, This is the time before you got to wait overnight for day two. So I'll throw that out there before I let Zach go ahead and make the selection here for the defending Super Bowl champion, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. No bites. Zach. You got to pick.
No bites. All right. Sounds good. Well, you know what? For a team that's returning literally all of their starters from their Super Bowl team, it is a little tough to make a first round pick. But in my opinion, the smartest thing Jason Light could do if he stays at 32, is draft for the future. And that's what a lot of these teams are doing. And a position that I look at is edge. And a perfect fit in the first round to top off that first round of the NFL draft is taking Jason Owe, edge rusher from Penn State. Is he ready to play right now? Probably not. But he's got two freaking good pass rushers in Shaq Barrett and Jason Pierre-Paul to learn behind. And if JPP is gone next year, Jason Owen can take over for him. So I really like this fit right here for Tampa Bay.
All right. That is not only a great pick, but also the final pick here in the first round of our three-round NFL Draft Bible Super Mock Draft.